A roast as dark as the night, perfect for fueling the cryptid research and mad ravings required for your podcasting. Don't mind the red eyes. He's just trying to warn you of the bridge.
The bridge.
Finally, from the caffeine-addled brains of Springheel Jack Coffee and Last Podcast on the Left, we bring you Mothman's Red Eye Blend. Yes, delicious Panama beans. Go to lastpodcastmerch.com to order yours today.
Hey, what's up, everyone? How you doing? Ben Kissel here with Henry Zebrowski.
Yeah, it's me, man.
Yeah, bro. Henry Zebrowski is smoking some of that sweet Last Podcast on the Left, babe. So go out there and purchase yourself some. I hope you enjoy it. We have sativa, we have indica, and we have a hybrid. And I have to tell you, from my personal experience, they are wonderful.
Super tasty live resin. You really get the delicious weedy taste, which is what I like. And yes, Three different experiences. You go to your local vape store and get it.
Absolutely. Thank you all so much for supporting the show. We absolutely love you. Can't wait to see you on the road. And get that vape, put it in your brain, and have a good time.
And if you want us at your favorite weed store, give them a call and ask for them by name.
Absolutely.
Last Podcast on the Left, it's weed.
Hail yourselves, everyone.
Hail Satan.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the Last Podcast
on the Left.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Spent my whole night, good old-fashioned hotel night.
Yeah. Hotel, right? Motel. I'm not going to tell them where we're staying.
No.
We're at the Holiday Inn, everyone.
Yeah, very good. But I choked down a bunch of edibles. I smoked a huge joint behind the curtain, right? Like, so, that's my new thing. What I do is I hide behind the curtain. I blow smoke into the corner.
Well, a Polish vampire?
Pretty much. But I was watching competing interviews, one with the CIA spook by the name of John Ramirez, who says not only was he abducted and milked by Greys, but he also was trusted with some of the deepest, darkest secrets that the CIA has.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay.
That's how it is.
So yeah. But he was trustworthy, you think?
He talked a lot about his butthole for somebody that wasn't necessarily going to start off that day by talking about his butthole. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that's
right.
That's a person that happens to.
Okay.
We all have butthole news.
Oh, of course. We have a lot of butthole news, and I'm ready to talk about it at any point, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to talk about it that day.
See? Absolutely.
See, that's what happens.
All right.
But then also with this father, I was a professional Vatican exorcist by the name of Vincent Lampert, right? This fucking guy, this
Lampert.
Oh, I hate him. And I trust the CIA guy way more than I trust the exorcist.
Yeah.
Even though they are arguably the same amount of full of shit.
Right.
But there's just something about, at least the other guy's talking about his butthole. I can get in on that. That's something I can join up
buttholes.
With. Yes. But this guy, I don't know. I don't know about these fucking Vatican guys. There's something about them I don't trust.
Well, at least with the UFO stuff, like we have the Tic Tac videos.
Sure.
We have all of the soft disclosure that's coming out. But with the Exorcist, like all we have is the Annalisa Mikkel picture where it's like, it looks like a wisp of smoke, but it's like, ooh, it's the devil.
It's the devil.
Like, it's different.
Like, that's how the devil's showing up. He's not showing up in a fucking carriage made out of bones with Ronnie James Dio as the fucking Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer at the front of it. That's how the devil shows up.
Welcome to the Last Podcast on the Left, everyone. I am Ben, hanging out with Henry and Marcus. We're on the road recording live from Birmingham, Alabama.
Birmingham.
It's great to be here.
You can really
y'all
sense the history here.
I had a good night last night. Yeah. I danced a little bit. There was a dance floor. It illuminated on the ground. People were getting down to some Faith Hill.
Nice.
Oh,
and some
God,
other
Kissel,
kind of country
what?
Music.
You fucking lived the son-in-law life last night?
Oh, I did a little two-step, a three-step, a roll-around.
Wait a second. Kissel, you were line dancing last night?
I mean, I watched people do it.
Yeah.
It was great.
That's sadder than sitting in the back of the strip club.
All right. Today's episode, we're going to do a little bit more of a tiptoe around the tulip when it comes to the devil.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about
tiptoe around the tulip sounds more like fucking assholes.
We're going to talk about deadly exorcisms.
No, it's a good reference. Tiny Tim, what is it? Insidious. R.I.P. Like, it's, yeah.
Oh, very much so.
Around the tulip.
Yeah, because if anybody was possessed, it was that man. Because was he ever committed? Was he ever like accused of crimes?
No, he married that beautiful woman on television.
I remember. Yeah. And then he died on stage, right?
Yeah something like
fucking
that.
Sweet.
Yeah. He was really cool, man. I like Tiny Tim.
He just seemed kind of like a weirdo.
He was a weirdo.
Yeah.
But honestly, now.
But like in the truest sense, he was actually a weirdo. He wasn't like Brian Warner. Tiny Tim was born a weirdo.
Tiny Tim had personality problems that made him believe that he was Tiny Tim.
So in our series on Annalisa Mikkel, I made a statement that death by exorcism is rare.
Mm.
And while I stand by that statement, further research into the subject to show me that actually death by Catholic exorcism is rare.
Okay.
Or at least if it does happen, it's more successfully covered up.
Well, their fucking bullshit is so, like, they have, it sounds like you're working in a corporate office when you're dealing with the Catholic version of exorcism. It requires a lot of checks and balances, each one more horseshit than the next because it is still somebody kind of making it up. And when it comes down to it, Vincent Lampert talks about the four signs you're supposed to go through, like the idea of like show of excessive physical strength, not being able to know things that they're not supposed to know, knowing a language they're not supposed to know, and then also like being an aversion to holy objects, all of which in a way can be faked by someone who's a good character actor, especially if they roll up on a Henry Zebrowski.
Absolutely.
They never know what's going to come out of my mouth because they don't know the ancient language of Zip Zap Zop.
The old improv tongue.
As it seems, things mostly get messy when the amateurs get involved. What's most troublesome about this, though, is that many cases of death by exorcism are relatively recent, with most cases going off the rails in the 21st century. So the question here is, why?
Yeah, because we know the how, which is they squeeze you like a toothpaste tube that we're going to get to.
Nice.
Well, now, although it seems like it's an urban legend, exorcisms did indeed skyrocket in both Europe and America after the wide release of The Exorcist. See, as a representative of the Catholic Church said in the movie, exorcism was once indeed a rare rite, especially in the 20th century.
And most people at the time, it was something that most churches didn't really talk about.
Mm-hmm.
It fell into disfavor and it became known as an ancient technique. It's something that we don't do anymore, especially with the rise of various sects of Christianity, especially the Catholic Church, trying to remain relevant. Right.
Yeah.
So like they're trying to show and be like, no, we're introducing science. We're doing all of this. But The Exorcist, I think in a way, kind of like how meth adds a certain amount of sexiness to your life, like a drama, like something like
a little bit of salt. It adds a little flavor.
It's an Epsom salt that you put on your food and it makes you sick, right? You get put to take right. something different. I think in a way, The Exorcist almost looked dramatic and interesting.
Absolutely.
Of course.
Well, and be careful what you consume, because of course, after the film Stripes came out, military recruitment went through the roof.
And it wasn't like it's in
Stripes.
It's
not like the movie, because then the movie never ends because it's now your life.
Not at all. I mean, this is something that we're definitely seeing nowadays, where people see something that is fiction, they consume a lot of entertainment, and they start to believe that they are living in a movie, or at the very least, they want so badly to live in a nice, clean narrative.
Look at Elon Musk. He's trying to become Tony Stark. He wants to be Iron Man.
I don't even think it's trying. I think it's a deliberate attempt to,
well, that would
to
be
echo
trying.
The fucking... But he's
but
making...
That, you just gave the definition of trying.
You know what I mean? He is doing it.
A deliberate attempt is trying.
I know what I... You know what I mean?
Well, after the success of The Exorcist in 1973, people began blaming demons for personal problems with all the intensity and fervor of a medieval era villager, all because The Exorcist still to this day feels real, even plausible.
Sure. Yeah.
But exorcism was not just a religious fad that faded out by the end of the decade. Like, you remember those dudes in the late 90s that used to wear those fucking, like, fishing hooks on their caps?
Yeah, they looked stupid.
Yeah, that's right.
Because and when I would ask them, they're like, well, because Jesus was a fisher of men.
Oh, are you talking that's about? Right. You are bringing... Oh, yeah. Put the Band-Aid back on.
But also, fishers of men just sounds like he's luring dudes into a trailer to suck their dicks, even though, like, they didn't know they were gay before going in there.
Yeah. Well, instead of fading out,
God.
Exorcism has increased exponentially since The Exorcist. Put simply, The more that exorcisms are performed, the more people hear about exorcisms. And the more people hear about them, the more people believe that demons are real. And since more people believe demons are real, more exorcisms get performed.
And the cycle goes on and on. It's a vicious cycle.
Honestly, it is a vicious cycle.
But also, look, I was having a conversation 2 days ago about like the idea of social media and like the new like hot take things on true crime, like, you know, like trying to reestablish the Menendez brothers' innocence, like all that kind of stuff, where it's like what people are seeing is massive posts on social media that get a lot of play and get a lot of attention and likes and stuff. And so in their minds, they think, oh, this must be validated at some point. Like, oh, there must be some basis of truth if so many people are watching and liking this, when it's just being like, no, you could just have a great set of boobies, male or female, and puts you to the top of the algorithm. Rhythm, and you say it in a certain way, you say it in a certain fervor, because also you have to cut through all the noise, right? Yeah. So it's being as controversial as possible is what allows you to get to the top of the heap of the fucking algorithm, and then you are now perpetuating the same cycle because you believe someone saying something just because they said it on the fucking internet, like we used to believe Walter Cronkite.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, we added our contribution to the new true crime with Jody Arias's butthole.
We did.
We brought that to the center stage, and people have really seemed to enjoy it.
And I think Jody would appreciate it.
I think that Jody does appreciate it.
Well, additionally, after The Exorcist was released, books written by men who claimed to have performed actual exorcisms became bestsellers, giving the phenomenon of demon possession a sense of reality.
Hift.
These stories hit especially hard with people who were already looking for something to blame when America became an unstable, highly violent, serial killer-ridden hellhole during the 70s.
It's a good way to explain it.
Mm-hmm.
Why are all these guys fucking eating all these dudes?
Yeah.
Oh, it must be the devil.
No, it's lead poisoning. It's lead. Yes. It's the lead and the unleaded. Yes, it's the lead and the leaded gasoline.
The music was good, though, dude. The music was good.
My favorite music ever is in the 1970s.
But you see it now, right? We're in a time of the great instability, and I think people feel it the same way.
Yeah.
Where it's just like we have this like vague super flu going on, which seems to be evidence. So it seems like the hand of God, right? Because it's an invisible force that's fucking with everything, and people can't wrap their brains around it. Which is also like we have a very real phenomenon also going on with the mass shooter epidemic that's also going on in our country, and it's weird. I think that. People then also equate it as to acts of the devil as well.
Well, it's like acts of God, like, you know, a plague is an act of God, you know, mass shooters, violence, that's an act of the devil. So people can look and
what kills more?
The plague.
See?
Yeah.
There you go.
Now, the most famous exorcist author was an Irish Catholic priest named Malachi Martin, who wrote an honestly fun, bizarre, and convincing book called Hostage to the Devil, which we covered many years ago. I think it was like
Hostage to the Devil.
Can I just get one more Salisbury steak, Devil? I know it's Tuesday and I'm not supposed to get more.
I'm telling you, you're becoming more of a customer than a hostage. I love to see the smile on your face.
The gist of Hostage to the Devil, as I remember, was that Martin told tales of 5 exorcisms he either personally performed or participated in, including, I think I remember there was an NYU student who had kind of like dabbled in the counterculture. And there was also, I definitely remember a guy who got attached to a demon while he was astrally projecting.
This is the Catholic version of what that father was talking about. This is a Catholic spiritual version of you dress that way, you deserve it.
Yeah.
Where he said, like, you've opened up a hook. To the devil.
Yeah. That was his
Hellraiser.
Yeah. I mean, this was his point again and again. Like many of his ilk, he used scare tactics to keep people in line with the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. Wanted to keep people going to twice weekly mass in the 1960s and 1970s.
Taking that money.
Yeah, yep. Dude. The attendance at mass dropped precipitously. So you got to use something to get people back in the fucking seats.
Yeah. Free chicken nuggets.
Honestly, that would help.
That would have worked.
Pay rent for people's houses or something.
Oh, did you want the Eucharist with guac?
That costs extra. That's a meme. That's a shirt I've seen.
But the point is that Hostage to the Devil was convincing even as someone like me who doesn't believe in an eternal battle between God and the devil. So I can only imagine what type of impact it had on people who truly believed in the presence of demons on earth.
Fortunately, it gives them gasoline. Gives them ready to go.
Yeah.
Because, again, you get to go to arms. That's great for Deborah.
It's fun. It's good cosplay.
You know, like Deborah, who will give you a 1-star if you forgot to put napkins in the bag with the delivery. You know what I mean? Deborah can't wait to physically fight the devil hand to hand.
Yeah, they do tend to be petty, don't they?
Mm-hmm. The biggest problem with this, though, is that after a while, exorcism began to leak outside of the Catholic Church.
Uh-oh.
Eventually, the Protestant sects of Christianity, specifically the more fundamentalist ones, began blaming demons and the devil for behavior that they either didn't understand or just plain didn't like.
Mm.
And since Protestantism allows for an anything-goes DIY approach to the Christian God, a lot of people joined in on the exorcism game with no real idea of what they were doing. And as a result, a lot of people died.
I told you, I don't need an exorcist, man. These are just JNCO jeans. They're just JNCOs. I promise you.
Tapered jeans! Tapered jeans to the Lord!
Man.
It seems as if this child has been possessed by a demon called the Great Malenko.
Oh, no! Now that we know his name, they say it again and again and again. Why are you giving us such power over you, demon?
So today, we're going to cover a few of these cases of deadly exorcism, starting with the murder of a 49-year-old Australian woman named Joan Vollmer, who was killed in a small town called Antwerp, population 63, located hundreds of miles northwest of Melbourne.
One thing that a lot of these stories have in common is very far away from large city centers.
Always. Right?
They're isolated.
Rural places.
Except for one. There's only one that's in a major city.
Rural.
Agrarian. But Joan Vollmer is also the same exact name as the woman that William S. Burroughs killed.
Yeah.
His wife, his quote-unquote common law wife, which is weird.
Yeah, his wife. Yeah, it was, you've never heard this story? William S. Burroughs, he had gone down to Mexico with his wife.
Well, he was running from heroin charges.
Yeah, and also maybe molestation charges? I'm not sure.
He was a poet.
He liked...
I don't think you understand. He was a poet.
Yeah, okay. He liked boys. He did. But they were getting fucking trashed in a bar, and William S. Burroughs was always armed, and he told his wife, like, put a fucking glass on your head. I'll shoot it up.
Yeah, we'll do the William Tell.
And he just blew her fucking brains out.
Yeah.
Joan apparently was also suicidal and knew William Burroughs couldn't shoot for shit.
Yeah.
Apparently. That's like one thing. To be like, hopefully this is the way I'll get it done.
Yeah. Well, just use a Nerf gun next time.
Or just like throw something.
I just thought it was an odd coincidence.
Yeah, it was a very strange coincidence.
Interesting, okay.
But Joan's life met a brutal end after a 4-day exorcism in 1993. According to Joan Vollmer's pig farmer husband, Ralph, Joan had been acting strangely in the months leading up to the exorcism.
Oh, I can eat my own pussy. Look at me, eat my own pussy.
Well, I thought you said she was acting strangely.
That'd be fun, though.
Well, the behavior began with Joan lurching and dancing around outside, flailing her arms and swearing loudly to nobody in particular.
You mean telltale signs of Tourette's syndrome, possibly some form of epilepsy.
I thought you were going to say telltale signs of a pig farmer's wife.
It's hard to be under that much, man.
It is.
To me, this sounds like a brain tumor. She was 49 years old. She started showing, like, you hear about
behavioral changes.
Yeah, behavioral changes, like just very bizarre behavior.
Okay.
I mean, in Ralph's words, she began acting, quote, like a prostitute.
But honestly, you know Kissel.
Why is he complaining about that?
If sex worker's acting like that, you're going to have a hard time booking her, right? Like, if she is
his wife.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
But I think she just wanted to have sex with him.
I think that she also was, she could have been looking for attention.
I have no idea. It seriously sounds like a brain tumor.
Yes.
Like, because, well, hypersexualization sometimes happens. Yeah. Like
she might be rubbing her mound on stuff.
It might be, yeah. And after that, Ralph actually claimed that his wife took on both the physical forms of a pig and a dog.
Like, Joan, this man is just fantasizing.
It sounds like the 7-year itch.
I remember that scene when Marilyn Monroe turns into a pig dog.
And he also said that she took on the personality of a sheep shearer.
Yes.
Although I don't know what the personality of a sheep is.
I don't think the man has a lot of different things to compare things to.
Yeah. No, he's a pig farmer in very rural Australia. Okay. So maybe a pig farmer looks down on a sheep shearer, like they're rough around the edges.
Maybe. So instead of looking for signs of what sounds like either a stroke or a brain tumor, I mean, remember, she's 49, Ralph took it upon himself to exorcise his wife of the demons that he became convinced were plaguing her day and night.
And then this is the thing where he's like, I'm saving her, which you begin to, then you don't understand that if you said the words out loud to a normal human being, you'd sound like Bill Paxton's character from Frailty.
Ah.
Where it's like you sound like a serial killer.
Yeah.
Right. It's a good movie.
Now, at first, Ralph just locked his wife in the basement. See what that did. See, maybe that'll change
stuff. See what
stuff.
That did.
Yeah, you know it is.
Okay, maybe
cool
she'll
out.
Love it. Okay. Yep.
It's like I'm saying, this is all like, this is DIY, okay. Make it up as you go along exorcism.
Great.
But eventually, Ralph moved her to the bedroom and tied her to the bed frame. When none of this had any effect, Ralph called his neighbor, a woman named Leanne Reichenbach.
Yep.
Together, they decided to call a local 78-year-old spiritual leader of the fundamentalist stripe named Leah Clugston.
Yeah, you're right. Clugston's coming for the devil.
I believe that.
But since Clugston was so goddamn old, we also saw this in the Annalisa Mikkel series, she decided to participate in this rite via telephone.
Yeah, man, always fucking zoom it in. If you can, especially with the devil, you don't want to be in the same room as theirs. But if you're incredibly old.
It seems like a kind of a lazy approach to an exorcism, just kind of phoning in there like you're calling C-SPAN to say Baba Booey, Baba Booey or something.
It is. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like, well, so it's also weirdly the equivalent of like having a passenger land the plane.
Yeah.
Right.
She literally phoned it in. With Clugston on the line, Leanne and Ralph surmised that Joan was beset by no less than 10 demons.
How'd they get to that number?
Yeah, you know, they asked.
Kind of
you know,
they counted.
She farted nine times.
It was probably like seven, and they're like, let's just say 10 for the
people. Rounded up, yeah.
Well, after identifying the enemy, they untied Joan from the bed and seated her in a chair on the opposite side of the room for a prayer session. But when Joan struggled against the intensity of their prayer, Leanne and Ralph figured the demons might again be gaining the upper hand, so they tied her to a chair with her own stockings. For 4 days, Joan was given neither food nor water, and any time she tried to sleep or even close her eyes, Ralph and Leanne would pry them open so God could better confront the demons.
This is my thing.
Well,
so
that's not right.
If God could already confront the demons right here, why doesn't he just do it?
You're asking logic. You're doing that like 13-year-old thing. Yes. Like the 13-year-old saying, well, if God is like so like powerful.
I'm correct, though.
Well, I mean, it is
sometimes
a good question.
Correct. Yeah.
They are sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. So, I mean, there's no logic with any of this.
Of course.
Because they're all like just doing this DIY shit. They're just figuring like logically if she closes her eyes because they're trying to find some way in.
So
because
they
believe
they
so hard.
They got a Clockwork Orange approach to it.
Yeah. I think at this point she's pretty pissed that she's being tied to a chair with her socks, which is why she is freaking out.
Wool sucks too. That's probably pretty itchy.
Yeah. When none of this had any effect, they called a fourth neighbor.
A doctor. No?
Nope. 28-year-old man named Dave.
Dave's coming.
Dave could actually need a 28-year-old man here. Yeah. Dave might be able to help.
Yeah. Dave Klinger.
Dave Klinger. Great. Yeah. Normal dude.
Yep. After very little convincing, Klinger joined in and tied Joan up tighter with even more stockings.
Yeah, fantastic. I'm getting
Dave,
right
you're
in here. I'm going to fucking tie her up tighter than whatever you can do. And you know what I'll do? I'm going to tie her feet to her fucking head. The thing is that we keep a butthole and a vagina open so that the devil can crawl his way out.
He slapped her face, slapped her around in order to, quote unquote, summon the demons.
Well, that's what the Catholic priest was saying, is that you have to make the point of the beginning of the exorcism rite is to provoke the demon's behavior.
Yeah.
Right. So you're supposed to go like out, foul demon, and
then spritz
water in its face because it gets a cat. Like then you're supposed to make the demon go come out, and that's when you can get it.
Yeah. But they didn't have it. There wasn't even a church in that town.
Okay.
So all of these people are just making it up. We don't have holy water. Let's just fucking slap her. But on the other hand, I don't know what they were supposed to. I don't know what they expected if the demons actually showed up, because they're just making it up as they go along.
Right.
With Klinger as the ringleader, this group of God's warriors tortured Joan for 3 straight days.
Oh my God.
Until they were convinced that they'd exorcised Joan of all the demons except two that Ralph described as, quote, strong male evil spirits.
Ooh.
Yeah, but then I guess it was just her just arguing back and forth in the various voices of the whack pack.
I guess so.
But since those two demons proved to be a little sticky, they brought in the big gun.
Uh-oh.
23-year-old guy.
Okay. Yep,
this guy.
Named Matt Newsky.
Matt Newsky can do it. He wore his offensive lineman gear. You can see him walking in with a football helmet ready to go. Yeah.
I can put it to the top.
Now, Newsky came highly recommended by his mother.
Yeah, because she said he's good at it.
Yeah, he's good at it.
She told Ralph that Matthew had the God-given ability to exorcise demons, even though he'd never actually done it or even tried it.
Yep.
Great.
Yeah.
You just knew. Yeah. She just knew. Mm-hmm. This is the give everybody a trophy generation we're talking about.
Well, I guess so.
Yeah. So, working on instinct, Newski tried flanking the demons. Whoa. Everyone else, they're going straight forward. He's doing the flank.
Wow, he went the flank route.
Yeah. You know how he did it?
He told the ever-growing God Squad to destroy all of Joan's possessions.
Yeah. That's a great idea.
Like bedbugs.
This is so fun for her.
Yeah.
Yeah. They destroyed. She had a greenhouse. They destroyed it with a hammer.
Right in front of her. She's tied to a chair. They destroy all of her favorite shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess who is the one possessed again?
Well, because they thought.
This woman.
They thought that all of her stuff was also infected with demon energies.
The demon got into the greenhouse?
Yeah.
And he's in the glass and he's in all the plants. They're going to destroy
all
that.
Would he still be in the broken glass?
They got to burn all her clothes. They got to burn her PS4.
Oh my God.
It is all over. You got to leave the mattress outside with a bag on it.
Oh. Newski then wrapped the whole house. With 7 layers of cling wrap.
They just brought in a dumber dude. It's like each person in the story just got dumber and dumber and dumber. And then this guy's like, we gotta fucking saran seal this whole thing.
Yeah. Let's make it like a sandwich.
Yeah, he believes that this would prevent demons from entering the house. But further demons from entering the
house.
That's
a really smart thing. Because, yeah. Yep. They couldn't get through the cling wrap.
Yeah, they certainly don't have a pair of scissors.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to do it. If it keeps the demons out, isn't it going to also keep the demons in?
Yep.
Yeah.
It you could.
Or what about the roof?
I am
what
certain.
What about Santa Claus? They might not have Christmas this year.
I am certain to think that not a lot of planning went into this.
Yeah.
I mean, enough. It seems like a lot. Some did.
Well, there's a lot of, in the moment.
Yeah. I just don't know where they got all that cling wrap.
Yeah. With the groundwork laid.
Seriously.
Yeah, with the whole house, 7 layers.
Yeah, rural in the middle of nowhere, like the forests of Australia. I guess you got to send a runner.
I don't know.
I don't know. I think this is the outback.
Wow.
Yes, indeed. Well,
with the groundwork laid, Newski tried what everyone else had tried, which was just beating this poor woman.
He punched
her in the head, slammed her into walls, but finally he was struck with a revelation. The path to salvation, Newski believed, would be to sit on Joan Vollmer to physically squeeze the demons out.
Oh my God. It is just the dumbest calamity of all time in this poor woman.
We will cover another story again as we go through this. And there is a weird biblical precedent that I'll bring up then. Yeah. But it doesn't make any fucking sense at all.
And to their delight, sitting on Joan seemed to have some effect.
Yeah, she didn't like it.
Yeah,
she hated it. Yokozuna.
Yeah.
Of course.
So figuring that this was the key to the whole thing, they moved Joan to the bedroom and all sat on her at the same time.
I mean, I've seen some of these on many vids. Yeah. The way they ride. Yeah,
this isn't fucking cake farts.
No.
Yeah, this isn't cake farts. There's no one's birthday here.
Yeah.
Well, starting at her stomach, they each used their butts to move their weight up her body in an attempt to force the demons out of Joan's mouth.
Kissel has paid for this.
Yeah, this is the single dumbest thing I have ever heard. Please. Ever again. Yes.
It's toothpaste.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Using their butts.
Yeah.
it's just so Australian in a way.
The only thing it's accomplished, however, was the death of Joan Vollmer.
Yeah, man. You can't butt scoot your way to God.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, that's it's what, like, Wendy does on the carpet.
Yeah.
But then it kills a woman.
Yeah. She had a heart attack as her thyroid cartilage was crushed by 4 backwoods Australians. And she died hissing and frothing as her last breath came out as a pained groan. But even though they were obviously responsible for her death, they thought that maybe, just maybe, they had enough faith in the Lord stored up where they could resurrect Joan Vollmer.
Oh, it gets this is gonna work.
Dumber.
It gets dumber. Okay. But honestly, the vibe seemed to have been she died. And then there was like a moment of silence where like she'd given up. And then the moron, head moron Newski, was like, guys, you think that this was a... This is part of the plan.
Yeah.
Like, yes, no, good. Now we got her where we want her. And they're all like, she's dead. And he's just like, exactly.
Exactly. Perfect.
So they prayed over Joan's crushed corpse for 2 days as it lay.
How'd it go?
It just rotted and rotted.
It just
rotted. Eventually, they called up Leah Clugston, the 78-year-old spiritual leader.
Sure.
Finally got up off her ass. And travel to Ralph's home to see how she could help. This is long out of the cars. The cows are already out of the barn.
Yeah, dude.
Clugston also tried praying Joan back to life, but when Joan stayed dead, did she call a doctor?
I don't know.
Did she call the police?
No idea.
Called the local Baptist minister. Another guy in the next town.
Always outsource.
Yeah. The minister, who presumably wasn't told that Joan was already dead, he arrived to find all five of them calmly eating lunch near Joan's rapidly decaying, fly-covered corpse on a day where the mercury reached 104 degrees.
Yeah, literally. He was just like, ding dong, and good. Then he comes in and we're like, oh, you want some lunch? You know, we're
some
doing
Vegemite.
The same. He's just like, there was a actively rotting corpse.
Which must smell at this point.
Because and also being like, don't they think, even if we did happen to bring Joan back to life, she's going to be a mess.
Yeah. She's gonna be a zombie.
Like, if she comes back half rotted and stuff, and then she's gonna be like, stink. I stink so much. I feel so much better now.
It's nice to have you here, little Nikki.
Thinking clearly. That was pretty good. Thinking clearly and logically, that movie would have been so much better if he hadn't used that voice.
The movie.
The voice ruined the movie. It was great, but the voice was terrible.
I do too. And honestly, Hubie Halloween, he also did a silly voice, which also worked for me.
Well, it was a silly voice is fine. It was just the wrong voice.
Yeah, it might be.
Well, thinking clearly and logically, the minister called a doctor, who then called the cops.
Yes, finally the cops are like, you have a fucking dead woman, where? And they're like, no, don't worry, you just need to come and help us bring her back to life. And he's like, come here, just give me a second, okay? I'm gonna put you on hold.
Seriously, when the press started circulating this bizarre story, Ralph Vollmer gleefully invited the media to Joan's funeral to witness her resurrection.
Yeah. Oh, no.
This euphoric declaration was repeated to the police, who were told that Joan would vouch for their actions when she returned to the land of the living.
She might, if she did come back, she might be like, and I just want to give a big shout out to Kuski. Like, he believed it. The whole time he was punching me, I was thinking, I love this.
It's like being down 50 grand in blackjack and making 50 grand back. It's like, you're just at the net negative. You're still at zero.
You're still at zero.
When Joan again stayed dead, everyone involved except Leah Clugston were charged with manslaughter.
Because you know what saved her life? Telecommunication.
Honestly, she was smart. Her laziness saved her.
Yeah. But in an infuriatingly light sentence, the judge reasoned that since all these people truly believed that they were doing the right thing, he only gave the outside participants 4 months.
Yeah.
While Ralph Vollmer got no jail time at all.
Lost his wife.
He did. But I would also say this is
he killed his wife.
He killed his own wife.
Killed.
That's like saying the Menendez brothers lost their parents.
Where did they go?
It is
interesting, though, because I think this has been coming up a lot. We've been talking about Inside Stories a little bit. We've even talked about a little bit on last podcast, even more so, about the idea of sympathy for the moronic, right?
Yeah.
The people that are genuinely very stupid. The problem with this man is that There is that vibe where, like, he was so, like, boggly-eyed dumb about this whole thing, and he truly did believe that all of this would work out, even though they tortured his wife for a week together as a group. Like, he was locked in, much like Annalisa Mikkel's family, where, like, this idea of, like, no, now I'm dug in. Now this is the only way that we're going to work our way out of this situation. And he also just was just irrevocably stupid.
Yeah.
Like, and he couldn't, and so I think the judges were way, way more apt to look at you being like, they're doing the fucking former president's defense of, like, you know, the ignorance means he couldn't break the law.
Too dumb to do something wrong, yeah.
Well, that's the insane thing. They only do that, though, when there's God involved. They only do that when it's like, oh, no, they exercised her to death? Oh, no. But it's like if someone makes a dumb decision of, like, you know, fucking robbing
drunk driving.
Yeah, robbing a convenience store or something like that, then hell no. That's the books
maybe because then it would also look like they were using the court to say something about the wrongness of the religious ritual.
Yeah.
And the court would have to acknowledge that exorcism isn't real and that what you're doing wasn't real, that they just killed this woman out of sheer ignorance, which was, I think, difficult. Which I also don't know why I believe in alien abduction, but I don't believe in exorcism. Maybe it's just because one's done by Stanton Friedman, who I trust with my life. One's talked
I
about my,
trust
you know,
those suspenders.
Well,
you know?
Don't forget, though, she, you know, in his mind, she was a dog pig.
Yeah.
Yes. Which is also a shame.
Isn't that sad? Mm-hmm. All right.
He remarried. Moved to Queensland, lived the rest of his days convinced that he'd done the right thing.
And I'm going to do it again.
I hope not.
Now, the deadly exorcism scene stayed quiet for about 10 years. But when the millennium turned, the leftover apocalyptic feelings from Y2K needed an outlet.
I remember that.
Oh, yeah.
And it seems that those feelings were released through an increase in demonic activity.
Ooh.
In 2002, a 19-year-old boy living in London, Ontario, named Walter Zepeda, died during an exorcism led by his father and a member of his church. Walter was strapped to a chair, denied food and water, and prayed over. But when nothing changed by the third day, the crew brought in their reverend. He joined in, and after 6 days, Walter died of dehydration.
Every single time these guys
just
bring
in, give him some water.
But honestly, every single time these guys bring in their closer,
mm-hmm.
these people die.
Yeah,
like I don't really understand why these guys come in. It's like what's it like? It's like within the pitching,
like a baseball pitcher.
Yes. Yeah,
like but you're supposed to win.
You're supposed to win.
But then they just seem to lose all the time.
Well, I mean, if you look at the numbers, there is actually. I mean, they say thousands of exorcisms are done every single year now.
Oh, yes. No, according to that stupid father I was watching the whole time, he was just like, and how many times does God win? 99%. These demons just give in. And it's just like weird thing of like, are the demons that strong then when they just like literally like he was like talking about how like he made a demon say the Hail Mary like prayer where it's like he asked it to say the Hail Mary prayer and then it went, Hail Mary, full of like he did like the thing. He's like, got you, demon. And
got you, demon.
I just think that person understood like, I'm not going to fuck. This ain't going to end until I say yes and.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, it seems like they treat demons. It seems like they treat demons as like particularly like dangerous vermin.
Yes.
Like if you don't like if you.
Like a nutria.
Yeah. If you let. Well, nutrias aren't dangerous. They're just big and creepy.
I was told they're dangerous by David Tell's Insomniac. Oh.
Well, like if you have a bunch of snakes living in your bathroom.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm sure if you had like 8,000 nutrias, like fucking,
they'll
you know, running
off,
through Lafayette, Louisiana, then yeah, you're going to have a problem.
Yeah, absolutely. A million rats will consume the human body in a very short period of time.
Just 10 mm-hmm. rats. I mean, yeah. They're scary.
But, you know, the parents in the case of Walter Zepeda, neither them nor the church showed any signs of remorse when Walter died because they believed that Walter's death returned him to Jesus.
This is the problem.
That's a problem.
The problem is it's just this still idea of like we're kicking the can to the heaven side of things and don't understand like, no, you just killed a boy. Like you just killed a little
just
boy.
Give him some water.
Yeah, like heaven's not real.
Yeah.
Like he's not going anywhere.
Burpo said it is real.
Oh, wow.
Burpo also recanted and said the whole thing was bullshit.
Well, Burpo lied once or twice. I don't know.
But this didn't stop the court from sentencing both men to a better but still paltry 4 years in prison.
Okay.
Tragically, though, exorcism is not just something performed on adults. In 2003, in Milwaukee, actually.
Really?
An 8-year-old autistic boy named Terrence Cottrell died during church when members of his congregation attempted to all heal him at the same time.
I was reading an interesting article on this story. So what happened was is that he was an autistic. He was very young.
Yeah.
He was beginning to exhibit the sort of behavioral symptoms of autism where he was kind of out of control and his parents didn't really know what to do with him.
This is 2003. They should have a little bit more information than.
And a woman saw them together at a grocery store. Like, and a woman says like, you need to come to my church where we will show you where we can fix him. We can fix him. Not like the women searching for you, Kissel.
Sure.
Like they really were like, we can go and like you, we will heal his autism.
Yeah.
And so they brought him into this. It's a church in a strip mall. This place.
It's a church in a strip mall.
It's a church in a strip mall called the Faith Temple Church of the Apostolic Faith.
So you can go to Gadzooks, get your praise in,
pretty
go to
much.
Gadzooks a little bit.
And
go
they,
to Sears.
They had this idea, like, they use this concept of when an evil spirit comes out of a man, this is a biblical quote, when an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. And so their idea is that you physically make it impossible for the demon to exist inside this body, so it has to come out and then it dies in the air.
Well, this is the whole concept of laying hands.
Sure.
Like this is a big deal in the Foursquare church back home.
Fun stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a dig. I can see a glimmer of memory in your eye.
Well, I remember the first time I ever got pushed over, because that's you just kind of push you over.
Push you over.
And then I was like maybe 11 years old and I opened my eyes and then I just looked right up a woman's skirt.
Yeah. And you're like, buzz. Like,
this is weird.
Just like that was the first memory pushed deep inside.
Yeah.
While answering a call from the pastor, the congregants in this church formed a circle around the boy and lightly placed their hands upon him. Or so they claimed. They said they lightly placed their hands upon him. And concerning the pressure, though, the forensics told a different story.
Oh, my.
By the end of the prayer session, a churchgoer noticed that the boy wasn't breathing.
Oh, my God.
By the time the EMT showed up, the boy was dead of mechanical asphyxiation from massive chest compression.
Everyone knows, as an 8-year-old, if you're going to die like that, it needs to be at a Michael Jackson concert. It at least has to be like to the soundtrack of like Beat It, yeah, Thriller. Like,
something fun.
What a horrible tragedy for this young man.
Yeah. Reverend had laid his whole body on top of him towards the end, so he was just fully pancaking him. But it's weird because also I saw that idea, I guess, that in certain types of things with people, autistic people maybe having freakouts. There's like that one idea that you pin them to the ground,
yeah,
which is like also sounds like a terrible idea to just randomly do,
or like roll them up in the blanket or something like, or in the mat.
I don't know if we should always be handling these people like they're disruptive members of a flight. You know what I mean? Like but he completely crushed his body.
Oh,
and his idea
gosh.
Of pushing the demons out, which makes
it's
no
just like
sense.
The Australian story.
Yeah. Makes no sense at all. And it's not the last one we'll discuss.
Okay.
But to be fair, it isn't just Christians who kill during exorcisms. It also happens with fair regularity in the Islamic faith.
Oh.
Although they don't call the villains in their stories demons. I'm sure many of our listeners know they call them jinns.
Oh, you know, yes, I've heard that.
Actually, where we get the word genie.
Yes.
Oh, no kidding.
Mm-hmm. But now we know, like, you know, and I think jinns are a lot of times portrayed as evil genies.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that genies as a whole are actually a mischievous, mystical race as well, right? Because their idea is like, you know.
You're speaking as if they're real.
No, you never know. How do you think I got here?
I remember that when Marcus and I, we found that hidden little, that chalice that we rubbed.
And you freed me.
Yeah.
Yes. You're turning blue, Henry. Oh my God.
I'm joking.
So in 2014, a 17-year-old in Palestine named Isra Zorub died after a so-called therapist at an Islamic medical clinic thought that the shortcut to solving Isra's mental problems would be what else but an exorcism.
Get this man?
Oh, no.
An exorcism.
Now, it's not like the parents brought Isra to the clinic looking for medical help and the staff just took it upon themselves to take things in a demonic direction. Rather, the mother had brought Isra to the clinic specifically because Isra had been hearing strange noises and, more importantly, words of religious renunciation.
I mean, this what seems also be a major through line of all of these stories is they are all true believers, and they are looking for it.
Yeah. Now, the therapist in question was a sheikh named Abu Harith. He conducted the exorcism chiefly by force-feeding Isra salt water.
Oh, damn it. It could have gone so good if it was ravioli.
Yeah, I mean, obviously. But then you become even worse. Mario Batali.
Oh,
that's what happened to him.
That's an exorcism.
Exorcism by pasta. And then all of a sudden, next thing you know, he's tweaking everybody's gnocchis.
So the salt water.
You guys really need to find a new reference.
I think about it more.
It's just every day, every week, it's like, how are they going to fucking force Mario Batali into this one?
It's not every week, but also it's miss Bombo. I miss him.
It's either in the show or on the stage. It's one of the two.
I wish he wasn't a criminal.
Well, there we go. So back to the salt water, Marcus.
Yeah. Of course, salt water's deadly.
Of course.
And he did all this while he read verses from a book that did not sound like they came from the Quran. I mean, most likely, this was like the Islamic exorcism grimoire, a lot like the Catholic rites of major exorcism. After forcing Isra to drink a liter of salt water, the sheikh said that the spirit would be flushed out by the salt mixture.
Nope.
Nothing, of course, was flushed out except Isra's pulse. And she soon died of asphyxiation. For our next story.
These are great stories.
These are not.
This is a listicle that I love.
Honestly, it's not. Like, these are sad stories more often than not. But it's like, as you go through, like, it's more about you. It's interesting how they cross over from culture to culture.
Yeah.
And it does happen all over the world. Like, exorcisms are a part of the human condition.
Absolutely.
And I do believe that up to a point, what we said, how 99% don't result in death, right? And I guess on some level they do work. Like you can fix problems of a spiritual nature by offering a spiritual solution.
So.
I don't really think so. But you know what I mean? Like for certain people, it's self-hypnotism.
Maybe, perhaps.
Yeah.
I mean, it comes mostly from, you know, religions that had their start in the Middle East, you know, like the, you know, in the Jewish faith, you have the Divic.
The Abrahamic religions.
Yeah, the Abrahamic religions. That's what I meant to say. Yeah, Abrahamic. Yeah.
Oh, there's Shinto. There's Shinto exorcisms. And there are I believe that pretty much there is a type of exorcism for every single belief system, except for
I don't know if Confucianism
the Peloton. I think Peloton doesn't yet have exorcisms.
Does Buddhism have exorcisms? I don't think Buddhism has exorcisms.
We'll get some emails. Side stories.
Yeah, let us know, please. I'd love to know. Now, for our next story, let's head down to Belize.
Belize.
Beautiful country.
Isn't that where McAfee, that was where he was hiding out, where he murdered a couple of people? Mm-hmm. Fantastic documentary on him,
Forgiving
by the way.
Forgiving country.
It was to him. R.I.P. John McAfee.
Well, there,
I mean, he's definitely a horrible person.
He did have an unquiet mind.
He did. He's in charge of all of our security.
Not anymore, no. He sold that company.
Yeah, thank God.
Well, in Belize, a 22-year-old named Jacqueline Sanchez was killed in 2015. Whoa. After she played with that ever-present artifact of possession, the Ouija board.
Ooh. Don't even get me going on that Ouija board, the one we had in high school that, you know, Milton Bradley has blood on their hands.
I wanted to do seance in my house. Thing, man.
It's pretty trippy.
My goal is I want to do seance real bad. I want to do a big official one.
You better
one.
Be fucking careful, bro.
But we will get to it. I will do it.
We have to sign a contract before you do that.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to have to get an insurance policy. Yeah.
What, you don't want to share a third of the company with Pazuzu? Come on.
Well, Jacqueline's family claimed that she'd been a perfectly normal person prior to her dalliance with this most evil game. Ooh. But afterward, she suffered from a myriad of mysterious illnesses marked by convulsions and hysteria. These convulsions lasted for months, and finally, presumably after doctors could do nothing with their limited resources, she was taken to the Pentecostal Church of San Ignacio de Velasco so the evil spirits could be cast out. She died during the exorcism ritual due to cardiac arrest, which, as we see, is a common way for people to die during these rites.
I think mostly it's they are exhausted. It comes from physical exhaustion of doing it for days on end, not allowing them to sleep. And then I think a lot of times by the time they've gotten to this point, whatever it appears to be, the phenomena, like it is almost like a wasting disease, almost like a chronic pain disorder type thing where they're very weak by the time they arrive. And so I feel like a lot of times these people just give out.
Mm-hmm. Or she might have been crushed. I couldn't find a lot of details on this story, but I just know she died of a heart attack. And she died of a heart attack, and she was 22 years old.
Wow.
So shit did not go well.
John Daly is still alive.
Yes, yeah. John Daly's still alive, seriously.
John Madden's still alive.
Well, Madden still around? Yeah, I think that he is, because
if he died.
I know.
The cheeseburger flags across this great country of ours would be at half mast.
John Madden, 85 year young.
Oh, he's only 85. Yeah, he's got only a couple
85.
More years left.
Yeah. Olivia De Havilland just died last year.
Oh, holy shit.
I don't know who that is, but that's all right.
Old ass actress.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bob Dole is technically still alive somewhere. I can't believe that they saved his brain.
We could have exercised him.
But with Jacqueline Sanchez, unlike most of the stories in this episode, no one was charged in her death. And in fact, the investigating body said that she died of natural causes in the throes of a trance. This perhaps shows more than anything just how ingrained the idea of demon possession can become even now in a modern society. This was 2015, 6 years ago.
Wow. OJ just made a mistake using a knife. He should have just sat on everybody, and then he could have gotten away with it without having to lie in court.
See, folks, see Twitter world, I was possessed.
I'm just saying.
But it would be interesting to see if legislators, almost in a way, especially in certain countries like that, where they, you know, like they are very religious, they have a big religious base. Mm-hmm. I think one of it's like they're afraid to delegitimize the practices of the church, and they also wonder if they themselves, I mean, talking about just on a personal, singular level, where they say to themselves, well, if I say that this exorcism and shit is not real, I won't get to do that Hail Mary pass if it happens to me.
Yeah, it might happen to me. God might send a demon to kill me or most likely my family. That's the way it always seems to go.
The demon, Sirhan. He killed. Remember that?
Yeah.
He's out
Kennedy.
Now.
Yeah.
Or was it the woman in the polka dot dress?
Honestly, Sirhan, looking for your contact information, email sidestoriesLPOTL@gmail.com. We're willing to hear your side of the story.
They also need that church money. And this is good for the church.
Yeah.
But it adds a lot of revenue.
Yeah. And speaking of societies with an ingrained fear of the devil, Texas is, as usual, the home of the darkest and most nefarious of today's stories.
Okay.
Again, in 2015, a small cult following the orders of a charismatic female leader starved a 2-year-old boy to death.
Oh, I remember this story.
Yes. The pastor in question, Araceli Meza of La Iglesia Internacional de Jesús en el Rey.
Very good.
That's, no, that's the best. I can do it better than that. La Iglesia La Iglesia Internacional Jesús en el Rey.
Very nice.
Rey.
Boy, wow.
Terrible. My wife is going to beat me later.
That's great.
He's doing that on purpose. He wants to get the beat.
I know what he's going to do.
Well, this woman claimed that she had the ability to both speak with God and perform healing rituals on her commune near Mesquite, Texas, just outside of Dallas. Using tried and true methods of manipulation and control, Pastor Meza separated children from their parents as early as the first year of their lives.
Oh, my God.
Which is exactly what had happened with the victim in this story, Benjamin Aparicio.
Remember, as soon as they're separating kids from parents, any family separation means that you're in a cult.
Oh, it's like, very bad.
There's not, no matter what they say.
Yeah. And when anyone questioned anything Pastor Meza did or said, she would immediately accuse them of either speaking with the devil's voice or, if they were particularly argumentative, being the devil himself.
How convenient.
Whoa.
Now, when presented with Benjamin Aparicio, a toddler with behavioral problems, Meza...
It's a toddler.
Some toddlers are difficult, yes, but it's still a fucking toddler.
It's a toddler. It has no idea what it's doing.
Meza surmised that the boy was possessed by a demon of manipulation that needed to be expelled.
No, it's a needy toddler.
Yeah. And since Benjamin's parents believed Pastor Meza to be a prophet, they gave the go-ahead.
Uh-oh.
But it was not the exorcism that killed this poor boy. Rather, it was the preparation for the exorcism.
Pastor didn't make it to the game?
No. Yeah.
Pastor Meza said that before she could even start, the boy had to fast for 25 days.
That is not smart.
No, that's not what, yeah, kids have to eat food.
It's 2-year-old. They only gave him 5 sips of water per day. Being a toddler, the boy, of course, died long before the 25th day came.
Oh, my God.
As it happens when cult leader predictions don't work out, though, Pastor Meza pivoted and said that the boy needed to be resurrected with what she called a rising ceremony.
This happens a lot, especially in Texas. We were covering this a little bit, I believe, on Side Stories about the group people that had a dead kid in the middle
of their... There's like a lot of these stories. I almost think we might have talked about this on a roundtable or something.
Very true. We might have.
I remember this was really weird.
But the idea of keeping a kid dead in a church openly on a table where they would just have sessions of people coming and praying and being like, this is gonna be the one. This is the one. And it's like,
no, sir, you just tied a bunch of wires to his body and you made him a puppet. Doesn't count, sir. No, doesn't count.
No, witness my puppetry of the macabre. Witness.
Oh my God. This is horrible.
When again that didn't work, Meza and the child's parents, undocumented immigrants both, took the body to Mexico for burial. When the truth came out, though, Pastor Meza was found guilty of felony injury to a child and was sentenced to 99 years in prison.
Holy shit, that's America.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Well, that's Texas.
That's Texas. Because
the people in Milwaukee didn't get shit.
No.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, she got
okay,
the
99 years.
Runner. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But it's also said that I didn't find exactly what she did, but she actually did a plea deal to get 99 years because I think they were going to try to go for murder one and fry this fucking woman.
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
Because the prosecutor said, we made a deal with the demon to get a bigger demon. So this woman had some knowledge of some shit.
Oh, yeah. She tried to sell the idea of, like, maybe she was a part of a network of these fun little churches.
Yeah.
Isn't that nice?
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, but someone else went down. But the case of Pastor Meza was not the only cult-led exorcism that ended in death. And in fact, the most recent and bloodiest happened just last year in Panama.
This one's fucked.
Y'all might have covered this on Side Stories. I'm not sure.
Very lightly.
Yeah. Found out some more details about this shit today. It's woo. Well, there, authorities found a body pit containing 7 corpses, all belonging to members of an indigenous community called Ngabe Bugle. Yeah, I have no idea how the fuck, I mean, I don't know their local indigenous Panamanian language,
yeah,
so
we
fucking
don't know
excuse
how to
me.
Pronounce that, yeah.
But this fucking place was located deep in the rainforest. The authorities discovered these bodies when 3 villagers escaped whatever madness had gripped their community, and they reported that this indigenous-run but still Christian sect was holding several families against their will. Well, the sect, called the New Light of God, they were apparently performing rituals in which people were held against their will in a ramshackle hut in the middle of the village. From reports, a village patriarch named Mario Gonzalez had run the official men of God out of town and had taken over the village's spiritual guidance.
Man, fucking Christian gang violence.
Yeah. He claimed to have received messages from God giving him instructions to exorcise the entire village. And these rites, according to the defectors, were designed to kill the villagers if they did not repent their sins.
Yeah, whoa. Man. They repent or die for serious. They were out there like they were like, fuck this shit.
Yeah.
It's like we're killing everybody.
Yeah. And it's a gang that is enforcing this shit. It's like a gang of like 10 dudes headed by this guy, Mario, and his son that were basically they'd all had a psychotic break.
Yeah.
And what was truly terrifying about all this was the isolation of the village. Hmm. Located deep inside the rainforest, the nearest town is an hour's hike down a steep, muddy track, followed by a 2-hour canoe trip. And that's just the nearest town. The nearest place where you could get help required a further 2.5-hour drive.
Damn.
Yeah, man. This is like, this is a horror movie.
Yeah.
It really is. Yeah. Absolutely. It really is.
But when authorities finally showed up, they found an unsettling scene. A black and red accordion was found on the floor. A Bible open to the book of Revelation rested on the wooden pulpit.
Of course.
7 crosses were etched into the green moss of the floor, and 15 villagers were found tied up next to a ritually sacrificed goat.
Because imagine you're just a normal ass person in this village. You're normal, right? Or you're like, you know, because they all were like, they were all deeply religious out there anyway. Yeah. It was a Christian sect that was already there.
And fairly new. Like they were fairly new to religion. Like in these sorts of like deep rainforests, like the actual missionaries have only recently in the last few decades
gotten out there
and converted these people. Like, you know, these are people like, you know, they probably have people who remember still alive. Remember times before the Christians came.
Oh, sure. I bet. Absolutely. Sure. And then now you're watching this thing. The first supposed to come is this, which is like, I mean, it's so symbolic. It's nuts. But it's like the idea of like this thing's supposed to be comfort and salvation and all this bullshit. And you watch it immediately flip into the darkest shit you've ever seen in your, because they live most of the time and they must live like kind of like lovely lives in tune with the, like, you know, it's also hard. It's hard out there. It's hard scrabble.
I mean, before modern Christianity. Yeah. I mean, now it's, I think they say this area of Belize is like, it's 95% live below the poverty line, like, because they're trying to force them into modern society.
Right.
But where like, they had a perfectly fine society on their own before the Christian missionaries came, but now they're being forced into this new society, which does not, of course, you know, match up with the way they've been living life for millennia.
Hey guys, just so you know, there's this thing called money. There's also a thing called taxes. Now you're gonna have to do both of those, right? Just so you know. So you're all gonna have to get jobs. And now you all just been hanging out and having a good time, but now you're all gonna have to get jobs, just so you know. Oh, you don't have jobs? Did you know you're super poor? And so what that means is that you're not gonna be able to get any resources either, so sorry about that.
And you're possessed by the devil.
Congrats. Yeah.
These people have been beaten with the flats of machetes and beaten with Bibles, and some had their tongues burned with hot embers in an attempt to rid them of the devil. And what's terrifying to me is to think about the scene in which these people are having their tongues burned, and there's some dude in the fucking corner badly playing an accordion.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. Not Weird Al.
Yeah. All while fucking Mario screams about the fucking Book of Revelation.
But also,
I mean, honestly, it's guitar music.
Yeah.
Or fiddle.
Fiddle. Yeah. Fiddle.
How do you repent if your tongue is burnt? Like, how do you say it
words? You repent later.
You
repent later.
Well, according to a survivor, the cult had rounded up the entire community like chickens, tied them up with wire, threatened them with machetes, and this is all in pursuit of exorcising the demons from the whole community. And all 10 people were arrested in connection with the rituals. But the worst discovery was, of course, the mass grave.
Right. That usually is the worst discovery.
A lot of times. Yeah. It's not normally the buffet.
No.
When the body pit was exhumed, it was discovered that the victims were a pregnant mother, her 5 children,
Jesus,
aged 1 to 11, and their 17-year-old neighbor.
It seemed to have been the idea that those were the examples made.
Yeah. As of yet, no one knows what the rituals were. They only know that these people were killed because the leader of this violent, short-lived cult believed that demons refused to leave their bodies.
Oh my goodness. You know, sometimes, what's wrong with just having the demon in there?
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know.
The demon makes you really good at basketball.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, we should ask LeBron James.
Maybe. Yeah.
Nah, if anyone's got a basketball demon, it's Michael Jordan.
And he took it personal.
Yeah. It's possible. Awesome. Well, not so awesome, but very interesting.
We got one more.
Very interesting stuff. Finally, we have the case that Henry discussed briefly during our Annalisa Mikkel series. That of 23-year-old Romanian nun Maricicia.
You have to say it with the accent. You have to go, Maricicia.
That of 23-year-old Romanian nun, Maricicia Cornici.
Very good. That's good work, buddy.
Cornici had actually been diagnosed as schizophrenic, and when her treatment failed, she relapsed into a paranoid state. Now, this was 2005. This was not the 1970s.
Right.
Yeah, this is brand new, dude.
But still, Cornici's fellow nuns and the local priest, Father Daniel Coriginu, decided that instead of psychiatric care, she needed an exoricism.
Uh-oh.
This woman needs an exorcism.
Over the course of 3 days, Cornici was bound to a cross with rags anointed with holy water. She was then gagged with a towel and left in a dark room in the convent without food or water. Eventually, this woman died of both suffocation and dehydration. They're actually not sure what killed her.
Okay.
It's a fucked up story, but it's also interesting because this part of the world has only recently embraced religion because they were part of they were under communist rule for a period of time, which is
Ceausescu.
Yes, and it was communist dictator, and he was anti-religion, right? Like the idea was like
they can't
have any religion, which is, you know, I mean, honestly, whatever. But they, in the release, like when he was gone, a lot of these small villages found religion, and not only just found religion, it wasn't like found like my mom's like version of like Unitarian crystal like
bullshit. You look at South Korean Christians, they're very intense because of course in North Korea religion's banned and it's a deadly sin.
Yes,
yeah, you can get murdered if you have a Bible.
They went straight to the ancient Christianity. They found.
I guess that's where you start, huh?
And the priest that they had was like a young, like hotshot dude. Like, have you seen pictures of him?
No.
He's got this super long ginger beard. Like he's redheaded.
How did you feel when you saw him?
I thought it was a great beard. Yeah. But he was like a young guy.
Yeah.
Like, and so he's this guy who came in who says like, I'm gonna hold the torch of the ancient Christian church and show people what we're gonna do here. We're gonna do it legit. We're doing it old school. And then he became sort of like a weird celebrity. Because when all of this went down, they had to figure out how to prosecute this church group.
Yeah.
And it was very difficult because they were trying to, it was all about like, we don't want to, again, ostracize the new religious fervor in our country.
I mean, well, had it not been for the girl's parents calling for the imprisonment of the 4 nuns and this priest, I mean, the crime might have been swept under the rug by the church.
Absolutely, right? Because they were trying to save face in a way. But it was weird because this girl was not, Maurizia was not necessarily very religious. She was just kind of strange and otherworldly. And her friend from high school was the one in the church who was just like, she reached out to her, I think literally through Facebook, and said like, where do I go? I'm feeling these feelings of like ennui. Like that's how it was. It was a general dissatisfaction with life. Might have been a half lesbian. You know what I mean? Like that type of thing where she didn't know. She was having all these thoughts she didn't understand. And she's like, you should come to this church on top of this hill, out in the middle of the Romanian forest. And this is another
horror. It could be fun, but it doesn't sound like it ended very well.
But as it was, the evidence was clear. Cornici was disfigured from days of struggling on the cross, and she even showed evidence of physical violence on her stomach, quite possibly from more crushing.
Yeah, it's the crushing. That's the thing.
Stop with the crushing, people.
The priest was, at the very least, sentenced to 14 years in prison, but he should have gotten more. The nuns, however, got off with next to nothing, considering how they helped murder a woman in the name of God.
Right.
One got 6 years, while the other three only served 5.
Yeah, because they were also they were viewed as accessories. And again, it's a sort of like religious crime, and they couldn't figure out how to prosecute it. And it was also this massive media sensation because the whole world took it up. And then they kind of showed up. They looked like characters from an old school picture book. Everybody's like at this trial. Everybody's in modern. It's modern, right? It's modern times. It's like it was 2015.
2005.
Oh, yeah.
2005.
This is 2005. So everybody's like dressed normal and shit. And then here comes like essentially these Franciscan monks. It looked like the Manson girls, like that style, where he came in as this otherworldly spiritual figure. And so there is sort of that where the optics itself make people kind of doubt what's going on. Because they're like, well, look at, he looks like a guy from a movie.
I don't know if the intent matters, I suppose. I guess these guys save people, but
they also believe that if you fucking die, we got you anyway.
We got you anyway.
So who cares?
But that's the thing, is that you need to, like, I know the intent, like, it's all about intent, but it's also about fucking making an example.
Yes.
It's also about showing people, like, if you kill someone during an exorcism, you will go to prison.
Yeah,
so call a doctor.
Call a doctor. Boy. You need to have a doctor in the room. You can do your little exorcism.
Sure.
But you should have a doctor in the room as well. Like, you should be able to say, like, okay, yes, the demon needs fluids.
Yeah.
Like, we need to drop a line in. Yeah. We can maybe save the quote-unquote save this person if we need to.
Yeah. So while prosecution for deaths caused by exorcism is certainly uneven across the world, there's never been, as far as I know, a modern case in which the defense successfully argued that the devil is the real culprit when a so-called possessed person dies during an exorcism.
We couldn't even get Bill Cosby to stay in jail. You know what I mean? Like, we're not going to win. The devil needs to show up in court. And guess what? He's already there.
Yeah. Whoa, he's the judge.
But nevertheless, it still seems like there's a continuing and growing epidemic of people who believe so hard in demons and the devil that they're willing to kill other human beings in pursuit of proving that Satan, and therefore God, is real.
Sometimes you gotta look in the mirror and realize you are the demon.
You become the demon.
Yeah.
Well, that's very interesting. What's so fascinating is that these are so relatively new.
It's still happening, man.
No, it just seems to be almost an epidemic of its own.
Yeah. Yes, indeed.
Quite a few that I'm sure we don't even know about.
Absolutely. Yep.
And I'm very excited that now we're about to head into a new year.
New exorcisms.
New exorcisms.
It's going to happen in 2022.
I hope what I'm hoping for, some meta exorcisms. I hope Facebook can really help us in the digital space of exorcisms.
Actually, we all know about the Bob Larson exorcisms. Yep. Like Bob Larson.
Just passed.
He died?
Oh, no, I'm wrong. You know who our other favorite just passed? Russ Dizdar. Black Flame Ministries.
Dizdar died, huh?
Yeah, Dizdar is dead too. Huh.
Yeah, Larson's still around. He's still got his YouTube channel up.
No, he's doing good. Those girls are still out there. I think they did a pro-Trump song, which was very interesting.
I'm sure they did.
Me and Ray Stevens.
In between Skype exorcisms, you know.
Just nail it.
Had to make sure. All the best people.
But next, we talk about Inside Stories this week. Next week, we're going on our winter solstice break, is what I'll call it.
He doesn't want to say Christmas.
Of course not. It's Christmas. I love Christmas. It's really fun.
Marcus, you're allowed to love Christmas.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm sorry that Henry is hampering your spirit.
I don't hamper anybody's spirit.
He can't hamper jack shit on me.
It's your fucking life.
I'm going to go see the Miami Dolphins play.
Honestly, that's the better way to celebrate Christmas. Nice. But we're taking a break next week, and we will be back the week afterwards. And just so you know, 2022 has so many surprises in store for all of you.
I don't want any more surprises. You fucking assholes are going to see the kind of fucking content
that it's going to be ribbed for your pleasure.
I feel like we've had so many surprises. Maybe we should just give everyone a list of what we're doing so they can plan. I don't know of any more.
But we got
Can't handle any more surprises.
We got one more UFO story right before we end out the year, and then we've got some surprising true crime leading up until February. Mm-hmm. We will be. We're going to stay on Spotify, but we're going wide to all different apps as of February 1st. And so
You'll see. We got a special one coming. Yeah.
We cannot wait to be on all of your services, platforms, whatever it is.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for supporting all the shows here on the Last Podcast Network. What a wonderful year it's been. Thank you all so much for your support again. And yeah, we'll just see you all. I guess the road is over.
Yeah, the road's by the time
we're right back on the road. We're two weeks in January. We're going to be
We're going to be there. But we also we got Soul Plumber out right now. Yes. Issues 1, 2, and 3 are on the shelves.
Yes, call them, harass them gently. Sure.
Yes, don't have
Soul Plumbers on your get that Soul Plumber on your shelves
and keep on supporting all the shows here on the Last Podcast Network.
And still, and the Z2 comic book, Last Comic Book on the Left, is coming out in the next quarter as well.
Yeah, make sure to pre-order that one as well.
All right, everyone, thanks for listening. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Hail Gene.
Magustalations, everybody.
Hail me.
Also, just go to the doctor. We say it all the time.
Yeah. Go to the doctor.
Go to the doctor.
Ask your therapist for something.
Yeah, what's going on with my bullshit?
What's with my bullshit?
Yeah.
Mister or Mrs.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.